Now, good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the papers for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. I hope you had a fantastic Easter bank holiday weekend and you're re-energised, revitalised, reinvigorated, and you're looking forward to the rest of the week ahead. Thank you, as always, for downloading the podcast. My name is Richie Allen, and I look through the newspapers, starting with the front pages and then moving on to some of the more interesting stories contained within. Today we'll start with the front page of the Times. Iranian general killed as Israel bombs consulate. Now, Israel is believed to have attacked the Iranian consulate building in Damascus, the Syrian capital, and the Revolutionary Guards Corps commander Mohammad Reza Zahidi and his deputy are believed to be among the seven people killed. This is according to Iranian state media. The Times is leading with it today. A number of newspapers are reporting on it. The Israelis are saying, "We don't comment on reports in foreign media." Israel, of course, because the international community has allowed Israel to get away with, literally get away with, murder and genocide for 7-8 decades now. Israel believes Israel can do whatever it likes, and that includes violating the sovereignty of Syria and murdering military leaders of Iran and of other countries. It behooves me to say that, which I've said 1,000 times on the Richie Allen Show, and long before I introduced the Richie Allen Show, going back to my days on radio in Spain, in Ireland and elsewhere. Israel needs to be sanctioned back to the Stone Age. A no-fly zone needs to be put in place above the skies of Israel and Gaza. And I'm just going to leave it there. I'm not going to carry on with this. More about Israel a bit later on. The Times leading on violating the sovereignty of Syria to kill Iranian Revolutionary Guards. Israel saying, "We don't comment." The Financial Times: Turkish opposition's emphatic win in big cities deals heavy blow to Erdogan. So that's a story about the political situation in Turkey at the moment. The Times says, the ruling party's defeat in the municipal election spells very bad news for the president of Turkey, Recep Tayyip Erdogan. The OI: economy will not be enough to save Sunak, Tories warned, is the headline on the front page of the OI. So the local and general elections are going to obviously be the focus of much news coverage now from here on in. Local elections next month, of course, and then later on this year, maybe sooner, maybe in the summer, maybe, the general election. The OI leads with the claim that Rishi Sunak has been warned not to rely on a recent economic upturn to boost the Tories' hopes this year in the local and national elections. I don't know about you, but what recent economic upturn are they talking about in the OI? I don't believe that the people I live with and among here in Salford in the northwest of the UK have noticed any economic upturn. Not at all. I mean, have they lost their minds at the OI newspaper? Are they not aware of increases in council tax, just to name one? Recent increase in the cost of living, we'll leave that one alone. The Metro: record migrant arrivals already, is the headline on the front page of the Metro. New figures suggest nearly 800 migrants made the journey to the UK over the Easter bank holiday weekend, bringing the total so far this year to 5,000. This will pile more pressure on Rishi Sunak, says the Metro. The Guardian: Tories accused as zero progress on half of levelling up goals laid bare. No progress, says The Guardian, on levelling up targets in areas like education, skills and well-being. The paper quotes a fellow at the Bennett Institute for Public Policy who says the data indicates the Tories are failing to turn the tide on regional inequality. The Daily Telegraph: stealth tax raid on 1.6 million pensioners, is the headline. Up to 1.6 million more pensioners will be paying income tax within 4 years as a result of Tory stealth raids, according to The Telegraph, which cites new analysis by the House of Commons Library. It says up to 9.3 million older people will be paying income tax by 2023 due to the government freezing the tax threshold. It's more bad news. The Daily Mirror. Doctor won't see you now is the headline. GP appointment scandal. So the Daily Mirror's headline is about NHS waiting list figures. The Mirror reports that 79% of patients are now waiting more than 1 month to see a GP. The paper quotes a doctor saying, the bottom line is, we simply don't have enough GPs. Daily Express, 10 million junk food addicts costing Britain billions is the headline. And that's about the addiction to ultra-processed food. The risks to people's health by eating ultra-processed food is the headline on the Express. Doctors have told the Express they want food addiction to be classed alongside alcohol and drug misuse to help combat obesity. The Daily Mail leads with Arrest Me, defiance of J.K. Rowling as she dares police over new Scottish hate crime law. So the Mail leads with J.K. Rowling. She's taking on the new hate crime laws in Scotland, which went live yesterday. She's invited police to arrest her if they believe she has committed an offence. This is around misgendering, or stating that biological sex is immutable and that men who identify as women are really not women at all. The paper also quotes Rishi Sunak saying, we believe in free speech in this country and the Conservatives will always protect it. We'll come back to that one. The Sun, union joke is the headline. Sports fans apparently have been sharing their fury with The Sun over Team GB's redesign of the Union Jack, which has taken creative license with the flag by adding patterned panels and an array of different colours to the traditional red, white and blue. This follows an argument over Nike's reimagining of the St. George's cross on its new England soccer kit. You've probably followed that. And finally, for the front pages, The Star, Hug a Gull is the headline. Hug a Gull. And there is a mock-up of a man holding a seagull in one hand or under one arm while holding what appear to be French fries in the other. Boffins come to defence of psycho chip knickers is the headline. And this is all about how people need to learn to live with seagulls. Professor Paul Graham of the University of Sussex. There you are. Those were the front pages. Now, before we go and look at some of the more interesting to you and to me anyway, stories inside the papers today, I've got to mention that the broadcast media this morning is leading with this story that aid workers, including an Australian and two people said to be British and Polish, have been killed in Gaza after an Israeli attack. Israel says it's investigating it, but it won't say any more. The founder of World Central Kitchen and a chef called Jose Andres said his staff had been killed in an IDF air strike. Gaza's media office, which the BBC says is run by Hamas, has also blamed Israel. No independent confirmation yet as to Israel's part in it, but it looks very much like Israel is responsible. A journalist working for the BBC in Gaza has seen the bodies of three international aid workers and a Palestinian driver recovered from the site of the alleged airstrike. Foreign passports were also shown. A spokesperson for the White House, Adrian Watson, has said, we are heartbroken and deeply troubled by the strike that killed aid workers in Gaza and that humanitarian aid workers must be protected. So the as I said, the broadcast media leading with this morning, the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, has confirmed that an aid worker named as Lalzawimi Zomi Frankcom was among those killed. Albanese has offered his condolences to family and friends. So Israel killing aid workers, Israel bombing the Iranian consulate in Damascus. What should happen? I've said it a million times. No-fly zone with explicit instructions to the Israeli military. If another one of your planes takes off, it'll be shot down. Israel should be sanctioned back to the Stone Age, but that is not going to happen. Okay, let's move inside the papers. The Telegraph, ID cards, Tony Blair. Right, well, Blair isn't mentioned, but Blair, of course, would love everybody in this country to be compelled to carry an ID card on their phones, preferably for Blair and his pals and his cronies. Reinstate ID cards to tackle small boats crisis. Blunkett urges Starmer. Now, David Blunkett is a former Home Secretary. In fact, he served as Home Secretary in Blair's governments, didn't he? Blunkett has urged Keir Starmer to bring back ID cards to tackle the small boats crisis, a suggestion that risks reigniting a Labour split on the policy, says The Telegraph. The Labour peer floated the idea of compulsory identity documents back in 2001 during his time as Home Secretary in response to the 9/11 attacks. He also hoped the scheme could combat benefit fraud and illegal immigration. So he's back talking about it now. Problem, reaction, solution. Of course, this is what it is. Right, we have a problem with small boats coming in, you know, undocumented workers arriving. Let's introduce ID cards for everybody, says Blunkett. He told The Times over the weekend, I would reintroduce the idea of ID cards because what will happen with the Rwanda scheme is that organised criminals will tell migrants not to claim asylum. They'll say, we'll get you to the UK, then ring this number, we'll get you a job and accommodation, and they will disappear into the sub-economy, which is the worst of all worlds. They'll be exposed to exploitation, they'll undercut genuine workers, and they'll also involve modern slavery. You can only solve it, and basically you can only offset this if you have a proper identity scheme. But as The Telegraph says, the Labour Party are seemingly split on ID cards, with Clive Lewis, the MP for Norwich South, branding the concept, quote, an utter dystopian disaster. Well, of course it is. But it's part, of course, of a much bigger dystopian scheme, and that is to introduce a Chinese-style social credit system here in the UK, underpinned by a cashless society and a central bank digital pound. That is what is really going on. And I think more and more people are alive to it today than ever before, and that's no bad thing. ID cards, ira papira bitta, eh? It's what they want to bring in. But it'll be on your phone and it'll contain everything there is to know about you. You know, your medical history, everything. Absolutely. ID cards, yeah. The Guardian. Vulnerable Britons dying as not being given antibiotics that dentist doctors say. So people who are vulnerable, people who have heart problems, specifically who have heart problems, and it is known, they should be given antibiotics when treated at the dentist, but they are not being given these antibiotics. And this is leading to people dying needlessly. And this is according to doctors. Almost 400,000 people in the UK are at high risk of developing life-threatening infective endocarditis anytime they have dental treatment, according to doctors. The condition kills 30% of sufferers within a year. And a refusal to approve antibiotic prophylaxis in such cases, prophylaxis means that up to 261 people a year are getting the disease and as many as 78 are dying from it. It is being claimed. The danger has arisen because the National Institute for Health and Care Excellence doesn't follow international good medical practice and tell dentists to give at-risk patients antibiotics before they have a tooth taken out, before they have a root canal, or even have scale removed. So doctors, including a professor of dentistry, two leading cardiologists and a professor of infectious diseases, have outlined their concerns in The Lancet. Dentists should be aware when a potential patient, when a patient is vulnerable, when a patient has a history of heart problems, they must be given an antibiotic to complement their treatment. Otherwise, they might get life-threatening infective endocarditis. I wonder what part does the rollout of the mRNA COVID jabs play in all of this? Because it might very well be argued, it might very well be the case that more and more people than ever before are presenting with heart problems post-COVID vaccination. And I wonder, will that play any part in this, making them at risk when they go to the dentist for routine dentistry, like having a tooth extracted or even having a root canal treatment? Very interesting. So let's go to the Times then. The Times led with this, so did the Daily Mail. Rowling's challenge to police: arrest me for misgendering. J.K. Rowling has challenged the police to arrest her. This is the Harry Potter author, of course, and author of many other books. She's challenged the police to arrest her under Scotland's new hate crime laws after making a series of posts on social media calling trans women men. Now, the Hate Crime and Public Order Scotland Act took effect yesterday, creating a new offence of stirring up hatred against protected characteristics, including age, disability, religion, sexual orientation, and transgender identity. Now, it was already an offence to stir up hatred on the basis of race, but sex was omitted from the Hate Crime Act in favour of future standalone legislation designed to tackle misogyny. So Rowling immediately tested it, according to the Times today. She highlighted well-known transgender people in a thread on Twitter. She included the broadcaster India Willoughby, a man who identifies as a woman. Willoughby reported Rowling to police in England for misgendering her last month, and the activist Munro Bergdorf even, along with convicted sex offenders. So basically, what Rowling has done is she's named some well-known trans women, men really, and has basically said to the police in Scotland, come and get me if you dare. She used the hashtag arrest me after her tweets. Scottish ministers previously said that misgendering people would not be a crime under the new legislation. However, yesterday, Siobhan Brown, Minister for Victims and Community Safety, said in Scotland now, people risked being investigated for misgendering someone online under the new law. She spoke to BBC Radio 4's Today programme and said it would be a police matter for them to assess what happens. It could be reported and it could be investigated. Whether or not the police would think it was criminal is up to Police Scotland. It's mad, isn't it, really, where we are. You know, protected characteristics is a ridiculous concept, isn't it? You know, even just from the point of view of comedy, satire, you know, the idea that you couldn't lampoon something or send something up or challenge something because you might be, you know, taken to task because of protected characteristics, age, disability, religion, sexual orientation and transgender identity, that you couldn't make fun of any of those things in the future, lest somebody say, well, I was deeply offended by that. Your joke, which wasn't about me, your joke, which is about age, which was about disability, but it's deeply offended and affected me, therefore I should ring the police, and therefore the police should come and speak to you and maybe arrest you. It's crazy. But it's where we are, and I am going to be talking about it on the Richie Allen Show this week. But again, it isn't anything that we didn't predict. We've been predicting this. By we, I mean the people like me on the Richie Allen Show, guests of mine down the years, and other independent content creators. We've been saying for years this was coming, and here we are. Speaking of cashless and central bank digital currencies, here's one in the Express headline. Is your area one of the 388 latest banking deserts? Hundreds of towns have become banking deserts as 388 branches closed in 2 years, research has revealed. Now, the research, was carried out by the Labour Party, because the Labour Party says it will give regulators more powers if Labour wins the next election to see banking hubs established in town centres. So Labour is saying we're going to put a stop to banks disappearing off the high street. Now, I believe that the Labour Party shadow ministers, like Tulip Siddique, she's the shadow city minister, I believe she probably means this. She's probably sincere in saying that she will tackle what she calls ghost high streets and give every community access to bank services. But I don't believe it will come to pass. She might believe it, but it's not going to happen. Banks will continue to close at the speed of light as everything moves online. There's been a million surveys in the last 2 to 3 years that say, yes, while it is a terrible thing, and I think it's terrible, I think it's absolutely terrible, that you can't walk into a high street branch of your own bank to speak to a bank manager or somebody face to face. It's terribly wrong. It's chilling, and we know why it's happening. But and while it's absolutely terrible for older people, the fact is the trend is it is trending towards people conducting all of their financial affairs online. And again, this is part of this agenda we talk about morning, noon and night on independent media platforms. This cashless society agenda, this social credit system agenda, which is coming in, a central bank digital currency, the absolute death of hard cash. And whatever about Labour saying, well, if we get in, we'll reverse this. What's going to happen is the banks won't go along with it. The banks will say, no, there's no need for us to be open. There's no need to open banking hubs. There's no need to do this because people are not travelling in to bank branches. They're not coming to see their bank managers anymore. It is not happening because younger people are doing everything on their phones. Everything. They're paying with their phones. They're transferring money with their phones. I got a fright the other day. I really did. I sold a ticket to a football match to a young man who works in a supermarket, a young man I know well. I sold him my ticket to a game I couldn't attend. A game coming up soon. I'm not sure which game it is. Anyway, because I'll be away. Anyway, long story short, I didn't have to give him my bank details. I didn't have to give him anything. He tapped his phone to my phone, and the app on his phone found my bank details on my phone, and the money was transferred immediately. It's madness. It's absolute madness to me. Right, maybe I'm a Luddite. I'm 49. So they can promise all they want. Bank branches will continue to disappear. High streets will completely disappear. And that's the way it is. It's horrifying, but it's a fact. Right? Number of people working for Age UK over the years have said it's terrible that people can't go to... It is. It absolutely is terrible. But that's the way it's trending, and nothing is going to stop it, in the opinion of this particular broadcaster. So we'll leave that alone. Guy just tapped his phone to my phone. Now, I don't use... I don't have a contactless pay feature set up on my phone. I don't. When I pay, I use a card. I don't use my phone to pay for anything. How this guy did this, I have no idea. But he did it because the £49 price of the ticket, face value obviously, showed up in my account. I couldn't believe it. How did he do it? Anyway, let's move on. The Times, speaking of that, teenagers' screen time limits social skills, says US Surgeon General. British teenagers are spending so much time online, they are losing the ability to hold conversations in person, according to the Surgeon General of the United States, the top doctor. His name is Vivek Murthy. He's been visiting the UK lately. He's published a book, hasn't he? He said social media has meant that young people were less happy and more lonely than older generations. We talked about this a week or so ago. Now he's been speaking out again. He says, I met young people in the UK, and one thing that came across very clearly was that many of them recognise the power of in-person interactions, but feel their lives are increasingly online. This presents a real challenge because it became clear to me when talking to them especially university students, that their comfort with in-person interaction is diminishing over time, as we have less and less of it. In this regard, our ability to interact with one another and build relationships is diminishing. That's our social muscle, and like any other muscles, we don't use it. As we don't use it, it becomes weaker. Yeah, that's right. And I don't like to be bashing younger people. I don't, genuinely don't. But I've noticed in recent years a change in younger people and a reluctance amongst younger people to get involved and to be engaged. Not to engage, but to be themselves engaged. We've seen this as we've been on holiday in the UK, you know, sitting outside pubs or restaurants and trying to engage people in conversation. You know, we've had younger folks look at us in abject horror when attempting to engage them in conversation, like real, like shock, like, you know, what are you speaking to me for? Why would you want to talk to me? And, you know, maybe it's just me. Maybe my approach might need to be adjusted accordingly. I don't know, but I've seen it. And they're certainly less articulate. There's no doubt about that. Again, we'll see people out and about with their dogs. And if you speak to a younger person with a dog, more often than not, they don't want to talk to you. They're kind of horrified by the fact that you've engaged them. And that's a gross generalisation now, and you might disagree with that. It's something we might tackle on the Richie Allen Show in the near future. That's kind of it for the papers this Tuesday. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Thank you for downloading it. The Richie Allen Show will be live, as it always is, this afternoon at 4 o'clock UK time. I'll be interviewing an academic who's written a book about climate change denial. His name is Gerald Cutney. That's going to be interesting. I'm going to be speaking to him about his book and about climate science. It should be an interesting conversation. So to hear that, join me from 4 o'clock UK time on the usual platforms, the usual channels. All that's left for me to do is say to you, enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Once again, thanks for listening. Do share the podcast with others. And until later, it's bye from me. Bye now.